Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out this morning. A little chilly today, but it's enough to keep the bugs down, so that's good. Thank you for coming out and welcome to our center. The title of my talk today is Superstition, Science, and Common Sense. It's the third in a four-part series that I call Back to Basics, and I just want to review what we've gone over the last 2 weeks. Major points. One, God is all there is. There is no God and a devil. There's only God and the lack of our awareness of the presence of God. Number two, this God, spirit, the thing itself, whatever name you choose to ascribe to your higher power, is for us. It's not against us. It's not here to punish us. It's not here to torture us. It is for us. Number three, our thoughts are creative. As we think, so we are. And we talked about how our thoughts are impressed into a universal mind and they are manifest into reality. And we talked about the divine creative process. We talked about our teaching symbol and how things are made in the concrete world out of thoughts. We talked about the law of cause and effect, and we talked about the law of attraction. And what I'm going to talk about today are patterns. We all love patterns. We love consistency and repetitive behavior. In fact, we almost crave it. So the 3 points I'm going to talk about, superstition, science, and common sense. First of all, superstition. Superstition produces patterns. Superstition is defined. A widely held but unjustified belief in supernatural causation leading to certain consequences of an action or an event, or a practice based on such a belief. And the dictionary uses an example of superstition as she touched her locket for good luck. But there are many, many examples of superstition. Walking under a ladder, well, you never catch me walking under a ladder. A black cat crossing your path. Friday the 13th. There's a whole phobia around Friday the 13th. There are people that are terrified of Friday the 13th. Broken mirror is another one. Or open an umbrella indoors. I remember I started to do that once when I was a little boy and I thought my mother was going to skin me alive. Good example that we see, it's a common one. In hockey, if you watch this. Hockey players go over and they touch the goalie's pad with their stick. And I don't know where it originated, but it's been going on a long, long time. And I think that part of it is, in a way, you know, if a goalie makes a really great save or a good play, they like to go over and, hey, good job, you know, and tap him on the pads. Or if, on the other hand, he lets in a soft goal or something like that, they go over and say, hey, it's okay, buddy. We're a team. We're all in this together. It's okay. And I think it's kind of a great superstition. It's a good tradition. There's an interesting story, and I should know who these players are, but I've forgotten over the years. But there was a guy who always had to be the last guy to touch the goalie before the game. And the skaters would, you know, go around and they'd do their warm-ups and stuff, and they'd get ready for the game, and he'd skate out and touch the goalie, and then he'd go back to the box. Well, there's a big trade, and they traded for another guy. And he had the same superstition and tradition. So a player does his usual thing, goes over, touches the goalie, went back to the box. Well, the other guy went out and had to skate out and touch the goalie. Well, the first guy saw it, he had to skate out and go back. It got so bad, finally the coach had to pull these two together and said, okay, from now on, you go out together, and you both touch him at the same time. But it's this idea of a pattern. It's repetitive behavior. We do it over and over and over again. Another example of superstition, fortune cookies. And the Reader's Digest this month has this cute little thing on it on finish the sentence is what it's called. And finish the sentence is, I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie saying blank, blank, blank. And so you get to fill in the blank. Finish the sentence. I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie saying, a hug is priceless. Aww. I love this one. I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie that says, your mother was right. I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie that says, all your exes regret letting you go. Fortune cookie message that says, no message today. Confucius is confused. I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie that says, the more something scares you, the more you should do it.
Yes.
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 You will never see me do that again. Now, I love this one. Fortune cookie that says, you should never act your age if you're over 50. Listen to your elders, not because they are always right, but because they are more experienced at being wrong. I've got to save this one. Now, one form of superstition and this repetitive of patterns comes in the form of religious dogma. Religious dogma produces patterns. Definition of dogma. A doctrine concerning faith or morals formally stated and authoritatively proclaimed by a church. Or a point of view or tenet put forth as authoritative without adequate grounds. And so often in, I think, more traditional churches and religions, we do adopt a form of dogma where, well, the Bible said it, the inerrancy of the Bible, it's got to be true. And we know that there are errors in the Bible. We know that there are things, you know, and I've talked about this in the past. But we adhere to those things out of a sense of dogma. And it's one of the things about our teaching that I think we need to guard. I mean, we all, at least most of us, embrace the teachings of Ernest Holmes, not because he had some great revelation or some light bulb went on in the sky and he heard the voice of God or saw the burning bush or anything, but because he was able to synthesize so many things from so many different teachers. But we start embracing Ernest Holmes. And, well, if Ernest Holmes said it, it must be right. You know, I think Ernie made mistakes too. We all do. There's no such thing as an inerrancy. And it's easy for us to make patterns in our lives. And the reason that I did that little, I can't even call it a song, but the reason that I did that is to illustrate that man, that boy, developed an identity with who he was. His identity was a boy named Sue. His identity was he had to grow up tough. He had to grow up mean. He had to be able to withstand that because of his name. He could have changed his name. He could have gone to his mom when he was little, when he was 5, before he went to school and said, Mom, I can't go around with a name like Sue. Call me Bill or George, anything but Sue. He could have changed his name, but he didn't. He held on to that belief. He held on to that pattern his entire life. And one of the beauties of our philosophy is what we do is we can change our thinking. We can change that thought pattern. We can release the need to be Sue. We can be Bill or George. We don't have to carry that around our whole life. Not Susan. I cleared it with Sue first. He was more secure in his misery than he was going to an unknown. And it reminds me of the Aeneas Nein quote. And the day came when the risk to remain tight in the bud was greater than the pain, the risk of blossoming. And that's true for so many of us. The risk of staying so tight in the bud, it becomes less than the pain that it takes to blossom. And we adhere, we embrace that boy named Sue our whole lives. Superstitious science. What do we mean by science? Science defined. Science is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. Most of us have heard of the scientific method, where we make an observation, develop a theory, we get a hypothesis, and then we perform a series of experiments to prove the hypothesis true or false, and we come up then with a conclusion. This is the idea of science. And in science, we look for those patterns. We look for patterns in the physical world. Those give us clues to what is happening. But we find that science today is discovering that sometimes there is no apparent answer to some of the patterns that we see. There's no reason for some of the patterns. Einstein and not so the theory of relativity, but in relation to that, it has to do with the spin of particles. And he talked about spooky action at a distance. Last week I talked about the double slit experiment, where essentially electrons were fired through a wall that had two slits on it, and we got a different pattern on each side, whether it was a wave or whether it was a particle. And we were able to determine that electrons are indeed particles because they leave a pattern behind it of particles. Except then we went over and observed it, it changed. And instead of being a particle, it behaved like a wave. And there was wave interference. So these electrons must be particles, but somehow, sometimes, they behave like waves. And then we did it with light. We did it with photons. And we put photons through this wall with two slits in it. And the same thing happened. We had a pattern of particles. But then when we observed it and we actually saw the photons going through the slits, they changed their behavior to behaving like a wave. And so the very fact of observation, without entering into the experiment at all, the mental activity of watching changed the behavior. So our thoughts are creative. Our thoughts do change the material world, the physical world. But what I didn't tell you last week is when we did that experiment with photons, that's great, photons, little packets of light, but photons have no mass. How can they be a particle if they have no mass? So science today is coming closer and closer to the realization that there is something greater out there, that there is a power in the universe, something that has been told us for tens of thousands of years, certainly for the last 2,000 years, that there is a power in the universe that's greater than we are, and it is for us. Question for everybody, because last week I got two conflicting comments after last week's talk, and I talked about some of the science and spirituality and whatnot, and I just want to get a poll of everybody. If you like this idea of science and spirituality, raise your hand. Oh my. If you don't like this, it's a bunch of hogwash. Well, I see the people that called me aren't here today. I don't want to hear about that science bull. I want some good Bible-based. I could do the same thing on Bible. But my point is today, those two need not be mutually exclusive. I think there's a lot of truth in the Bible, and I think there's a lot of science in the Bible, if we'll only look for it. Okay, who wants more science and spirituality? Okay, one of the examples that I was going to give is called Bell's Theorem and non-locality, but we'll save that because we're getting late. Okay, so the third area I want to talk about is common sense. What do we mean by common sense? Common sense is defined as sound judgment and level-headedness in practical matters. I read that over and over, and what occurred to me, if I had to give a definition, I think for the science of mind, it might be sound judgment and level-headedness in practical matters. I think is what Holmes was able to do is really take a common sense approach to many of the things that we face in our lives. Tying in things from major religions, from certainly Christianity and Judaism, the Abrahamic traditions, but also Buddhism, the Tao, those common threads, the golden thread. Now, there are both positive and destructive patterns in superstitions and in science. And common sense helps us to embrace the positive ones. And there are positive ones. Our players that like to tap the goalie, do you think that they performed better when they were the last guy to touch the goalie? I'll bet if you were able to get a scientific study and go back and measure, you'd find out that they were more successful when they were the last person to touch the goalie's pads. Not because there was an interaction in nature, not Einstein's spooky action at a distance, but because they believed that they would be a better hockey player if they touched it. And if they believed it, they could do it. Science of mind helps us to find constructive patterns in the mental or spiritual world. Why am I clinging so tightly to these old beliefs and thoughts? I can change my thoughts and change my experience in this world. I can change my thinking and change my life. Go back to the fortune cookies. If I was asked to finish the sentence, I've always wanted to write a fortune cookie saying, "Your fortune is not here, it is within you. Now go out and meet the universe." So for conclusion today, I want to go back to our sacred reading. True religion, true science, and true common sense should go hand in hand together with that other subtle something which is the essence of feeling, that which is beyond words. It is not always easy in a world of confusion and superstition and unbelief to maintain an independent position in one's own thought, a position based on the plain common sense that Jesus had, that life cannot produce death, and that the universe holds nothing against us, that the gift of heaven is eternally made, but still must be received. Science is helping us to receive this gift. All of the comforts and all of the good that have come to modern life through science are not contradictions in nature, but rather they are affirmations of the limitless resources of life. And so it is with our awareness of this concept that infinite presence, that higher power that's within our lives, that is working for our good constantly and always, that I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join and join me in holding our congregation, each and every one of us, whether you're here or not, in love and light, and just simply know that beyond this world of effects, there is a true world, a capital T true world. And it is that truth that we embrace for anyone facing medical issues, facing disease, facing separation from that wholeness that is our true nature. So on behalf of those people, we just simply know that beyond this effect, there is a truth, and that is a pattern of perfection. It was known upon conception. It was known upon growth. It was known in cell differentiation. It is known deep within each and every cell, and it is that infinite intelligence that I call forth the healing of any dis-ease. And I also speak my word for those who are suffering from an appearance of lack and limitation, not enoughness. We just simply dispel that belief that there is not enough for everyone. We simply know that at our table and every table, there is room for everyone, that there is plenty of good for everyone. And so we just accept that good. We open up our arms. We open up our hearts to the reception of good, of abundance, of prosperity for each and every person. And finally, I speak my word for those who are feeling separation from God, separation from one another. We just simply know that as each one of us are individualized expressions of that infinite power, of that higher power, we just know that we can never be truly separated from God. It is our own decisions that have separated us, and we release those decisions and we resume our oneness with God, our oneness with one another. And every relationship is blessed, whether it be work relationship, family, or a romantic relationship. It is all good because it is all God. And so we just give thanks. We are so blessed. And we release these words to the working of law that always responds. And so it is.